I maintain humor.
Humor.
This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the instant illumination. I maintain humor. Now, what is humor? Humor is a lot of things to a lot of people, and sometimes it's kind of a different thing. But what is humor? Humor is that which brings a tickle to your tummy, you know. It makes you laugh. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel good. You look at the situation and you have to laugh to yourself. You look at what people do and you have to laugh and you say, oh my goodness sakes, are they something or other? I don't know where they get the thing to do that. Now, we have known some people who are good humor. They can tell humorous stories. Now, John Daney was a good humorist. He could tell good humorous stories and he could make you laugh and he could do all sorts of things. Now, some humor comes from misuse of words, and you know the person knows better. And then some humor comes from misuse of words, and you know the person doesn't know better. Like Mrs. Malaprop. She's one of, I believe, Shakespeare's people who, or whoever it was in England, and she misused the English language. And she would take common phrases and say them how they sounded instead of how they what they meant. And I don't think of any at the moment, but she had lots of them, and she was, that's where the word malapropism came from in the dictionary. If you look that up, you'll find malaprop. And it's quite an interesting idea. Now, humor is something that anyone can create in their life if they like. It doesn't really matter. A man can go to his wife, and she's working in the kitchen or whatever she's doing, and then he bends over and kisses her on the neck, and then he snuggles her on the neck, and then he kisses her on the ear, and he snuggles her on the ear, and he kisses her on the other side of the neck and the other ear, and then he walks away as though nothing happened, and she's, what was that all about? What was that? What? Now that's humor. It's a nice humor, a real nice humor. I'm sure it's one that makes her think, well, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Have somebody come kiss me on the neck and snuggle me by the ear and stuff. I'm pretty good, you know? And see, that kind of humor makes us feel very good. Now, I go in and talk to people who are in hospitals and who are on their deathbed, and they're in terminal care and stuff like that. And I say to him, well, you look great, you know. What's wrong with you? I'm dying. Well, you look great. I mean, you're dying real nice, you know. You're dying real good. But I don't want to die. Oh, you don't want to die? You want to live or you want to die? You don't want to die? Hey, well, let's put a smile on our face and let's look like we want to live. Let's look like we want to hang around here for a while. How long do you want to stay here yet? How many years do you want to live on Earth? How many years do you want to live on Earth? It doesn't matter, Ingeborg. Rex just took the napkin off the table, and now he's going to play games with it. He likes to shred it in the living room so we can pick it up. That's his humor. And he's always doing those little humorous things to us and trying to get our attention and see what we think about what he's doing. And we really don't care. We just pick it up after he's done playing, and there he is. I protest when he brings in sticks that are falling apart virtually because they come apart too quick. And then when they have to pick up all the little parts in there, all the little sticks that he's been chewing up, and he loves to chew it right in the middle of the living room. He thinks that's just the greatest place in the world to do it. But he doesn't think that. What does he think? Now, this is the humorous part. He thinks that's his house. He thinks that's his house. Now, if Rex ever misbehaved in the house and did his duty when he should go outside, then he has a house outside, too. It's carpeted just like the one in the house. And if he doesn't know how to behave in the big house, he'll go to the little house. I don't say my house. Because it's our house. The house belongs to Rex and I. And the two of us, we live there, and we enjoy it, And when I'm not using the bed, he uses it. And when I'm using the bed, he would like to use it too, but he has a tendency to want to shove you off and take the whole thing for himself and just stretch and roll and wiggle and, you know, you don't get much sleep that way. So I have decided that if he wants to sleep on the bed, we'll put up a bed for him, but not until he stops chewing it apart. We bought him a lovely bed for a great big giant dog, and next thing you know, he had it in shreds, but he was still a puppy. Tomorrow, he'll be 1 year old. Mr. Rex will be 1 year old, and I don't think he'll look much different, but we're going to have a party for him.
Of course.
Because we love parties, and Rex loves parties too. And we will probably let him chew up a few napkins just to have it on his birthday. You know? Give him a bad habit. No, we don't do that. You see, humor doesn't come from letting things be like they shouldn't be, you know. Humor comes from something that's done just a little differently. Something that's done just a little unusual from the way that we're used to seeing it done. And when it's done that way, then we smile and we enjoy it. Now, you all remember the story about Norman Cousins dying of cancer, and he used humor to completely put the cancer in remission and went away completely. But he watched humorous shows, he watched humorous cartoons, and he watched humorous videos and and CDs and what have you for, several weeks. And the nurses, when they came on duty, each had to have a couple of jokes to tell him new that day. So the nurses had to look up jokes and be aware of them themselves. And the doctors, too. If the doctors were going to come and service him, they had to come and have a joke or two. And, of course, it didn't hurt the hospital. Because who wants to know a joke and not tell it to everybody? And so the nurses, as they went their rounds, they'd say, "Oh, I just heard a good joke today." And they're sharing the humor. And so probably as these nurses who were learning to be humorous themselves would go around to visit the various patients in their wards, they'd sparkle them all up with the joke that they had learned, or the two jokes. And by the time they went home, they had told it umpty-dump times. And so they were able to really play it good when they got home to their family. They said, "You know, I met a man," and the whole family said, "Wow, you have fun at that hospital." But you see, that's what it should be, having fun, being yourself and having fun, because humor is a very, very definite part of having fun. And humor should be a part of being yourself. And never laugh at yourself. Laugh with yourself. If you do something stupid or idiotic, laugh at it, not at yourself. Because if you laugh at yourself, they say you should be able to laugh at yourself. Well, that's not really true. You don't laugh at yourself. You don't laugh at the person you are. You don't laugh at the name you have or anything like that. But what you laugh at is how some people use your name. Some people say Borelli for me. Barley, I used to be Barley Corn when I was a kid. You know, "Hey, Barley Corn, come on over here." You know, and my name is Buy Early. At Christmas time, you buy early. But the way my friends, quote, my humorous friends, would use my name, at first, "Hey, wait, that's not my name." And I don't really think there was a first. I don't think I ever really cared. I think that whatever anybody called me, I was glad they did. I was glad to be included in their group, you know. And I didn't care what they called me. It didn't matter to me. Because I just always had a lot of fun, and I always did a lot of things that made me great. Now, how Rex can go outside and perhaps do his duty or something or other, and then come racing through the door as though he's a thundering elephant and thunder around into the house here and just try to get everybody's attention. I mean, what a humorist, you know? He knows how to create humor from the word go, don't you, Mr. Rex? Yeah, this way, yes. Not sideways. I was shaking his head, holding on to this rubber toy that he has. I tell you, you know, talking to you guys and holding on to his rubber toy is a little distracting, but not terribly much. Being a humorist takes a little, not training. It doesn't take training, but it could take training. If you are not a humorist, then it would take a little training. But I think everyone has a lot of humor in them. Everyone just has a lot of smiles in them all the time, and they don't really know how to do anything with those smiles because they feel silly. And one way not to feel silly, and that way that you don't feel silly, is when you put a big red ball on your nose. Mm-hmm. And play the role of this clown. And it's so wonderful when I'm visiting with Irene Merkley over in Switzerland. I come into her house and she says, "Just a minute." And she goes in the other room and she comes out. She puts a red ball on her nose and she puts a wig on her head and she sticks her head around the corner. "Who are you? What do you want here?" I mean, what a clown, you know. She knows who I am. She knows what I want there. I'm not coming there for any other reason but to visit her. And what do you mean, who am I? What am I doing here? Well, you know, that's humor. I mean, I know what she's saying. I know what she's doing. I know why she's doing it. But still, you think, I know, you know. What are you doing here? What do you want? put a man in my house? My goodness sakes, I haven't had a man in my house for a long time. And, you know, you make silly comments like that, and you're humorous, and you tickle people's funny bone. And when you tickle people's funny bone, magic takes place, and it's a lot of fun. But being a humorist is not difficult. It's just a matter of putting a little turn on things, a little twist on things that are normal. And like I say to Sylvia, "Sylvia, would you like a pear?" And Sylvia says, "No, Herb, you eat the pear. I want the core." You crazy? You want the core? "Sure, I want the core." And I said, "Well, okay." So I eat the pear and give her the core. She says, "Thank you very much." She says, "But you could have left a little more on the core so I could pour over it with my appetite." But so then what does she do? She gives it to Rex. She gives it to Rex because she knows Rex likes the cores of the apples and the pears and the other things. And then she gets a big smile out of that. That's part of her humor, you know. She says, "No, but I want the core, you know." Now she knows that if I have the core, I'm going to give it to Rex, and Rex is going to think I'm great. See, Rex got his ball under the table there, and he can't quite get it out. But when the ball rolled there, it rolled right under there. And it does that just beautifully, I tell you. So humor in our life is very vital and very wonderful. And we can have that and do wonderful things with the humor. So plan today to put as much humor in your life as you can. And you will notice that the humor will come back out of it. In silly, stupid, crazy, idiotic things, but it brings a tickle to your heart and makes you 10 years younger for each joke you tell. Ha! 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 And you say, "Ha! Ha! Ha! Laugh at that." I'm not kidding you. If Norman Cousins can come back from the dead with humor, as it chased away all the negative ideas he had about his body and himself, and he just laughed his way through. If it can do that, it can do it for us too, because it can chase away the years. It can make us younger, more dynamic, more fantastic. And then, Ingeborg, instead of being 25, you'll be 22. Ha, ha, ha. And isn't that a nice year, huh? Mm-hmm. And Sylvia, she always remembers when she was 19, she thought she had such a glorious body and such a glorious mind and such a glorious attitude. But when I said, "Sylvia, what age would you like to be?" She says, 35 or something like that. And I said, "Why there? I thought you would like to be 19. "No, when I was 35, I was quite good.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, 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 oh. There's humor for you. Awesome. She was an awesome girl at 35. Wow. Man, I mean, I tell you. Okay. Brings a little humor into our life, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know. I look at a lot of people and I see their lives and I see how much humor they could have if they just let go of the burdens of the problems on their shoulders and just say, life is wonderful, because it is. Have a lovely day, and know that you're very special in my world because you give me all the humor I can handle. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.